This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Folks, this is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Spider Pig, does whatever a spider pig does. Does he swing from a web? No, he can't. He's a pig. Look out, here comes a spider pig.
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all the feedback from the geeks. That would be you, the listener. We haven't heard from you in a while. It's not my fault. This is the show for Monday, November 5th, 2007. I am Chuck Tomasi. With me is not only Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I'm good.
We also have T. Morris hiding in the wings. T, are you
Hi,
out
everybody.
There?
You know, I finally have a voice, so I'm ready to podcast.
Yay.
Awesome.
He's in the green room.
This is the companion podcast to Technorama with all your email and voicemail comments. If you're new to Technorama, there is another major piece to all this. If this doesn't make any sense, you may want to go back one show and have a listen. Otherwise, pull up a chair and spend a few minutes with us and a few of our closest friends who wrote in, called the listener line, or sent us an audio clip like these.
Hi guys, this is Eric in New York. Calling in reference to you getting a box game of D&D. Just listened to your last show. For some reason, I couldn't get through the first one to tell you this, but in the 70s, they had a starter set for solo game plan called Dungeons & Dragons. It was a red box, if I remember. It might have been a blue one.
Did you use the red box or the blue box? Isn't that in the Matrix?
A single-player dungeon for first level, and you could roll up a character, touch just basics, and you could go through this book following it. You'd turn page to page depending on what choice you made. It had cheap dice and a crayon and a character sheet. Then they came out with a version of Advanced Dungeons & Dragons set, which was a campaign with a couple of characters, and they had them different levels. So you could get different box sets, but these were maybe in the 80s. Occasionally, you can go to a hobby shop that you might find a used one. I'm sure somebody on eBay would sell you a used one. But they did have them in box sets before they had the manuals out. Yes, you could get a box set. So the guy that just said no, they never sold it as a board game.
Bruce Barr.
Might have been right is the fact that it was never a board game, but it came in a box. It had all the instructions. It was a single campaign, so you could play the thing out when you were done. You could take that character to another campaign. But who knows? It's just showing the geek in me. Have a good one. Bye.
No.
I hate to admit this, guys. I had that.
Oh, did you really?
I still have my cheap plastic 4-sided die and my cheap plastic 12-sided die from that set. And, that's what got me started in Dungeons & Dragons. They had a basic set, which a lot of the hardcore gamers said, well, you're starting off, so why don't you buy the basic set first? Then get the advanced rulebook. And let me tell you,
they know they were insulting you.
yeah, exactly. But the thing was that after I read the basic set, I was like, okay, I got this game, and I played it with a couple of guys who had the advanced set, and they're like, well, T, you're ready. Why don't you get the advanced set? I read 5 pages of this advanced set, and I was like, do these guys have lives?
No.
This is a game. No. It's just a game. Get over it. It's a game. And man. So I just stuck with my basic set, and I was very happy. And I wound up doing just as fine as all the other guys with their advanced books. So,
Yeah. That's what I'm looking for the girls.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what?
I want to get my kids started on that. That was the whole point that started this discussion, is I didn't want to spend 2.5 hours explaining to them this game. I want to get like a 15-minute intro and go for it. And if they like it, they like it. Minimum investment. And if they don't...
Well, I think the best way is to just put them into a game and say, you know, and, you know, craft out a real simple basic adventure. Have them roll up the characters first and say, okay, this is what you're doing. This is what each of these stats mean. You roll up a couple characters and they go, okay, once you roll up the characters, now what do you do? We go on an adventure. Here's how it goes. And you just take them through it. You know, you teach them as you go. Like the way J.K. Rowling does Harry Potter.
Yeah.
She does very little info dumping. You experience the Harry Potter world through Harry Potter. Harry Potter's like, what's that? Oh, it's a seeker. Yada, 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 et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You see what I mean?
That's not a bad idea. Just learn it as you go. Like so many other games. I mean, how did you learn Monopoly? It's a pretty complex game, but you jump into it and you start playing. Right. And
for immersion, baby.
And not to plug it, you know what else? You know, it's another option you have, and I'm not kidding you. Wiley sent it to me as an example. Advanced Dungeons and Dragons for Dummies. As a matter of fact, I'll give you another one, Chuck, about our future employers. When they premiered that, they got ridiculed at every gaming convention they went to with it, but they sold out of every copy they had by the time the weekend was out.
No kidding.
No kidding. People were buying it under the table going, yeah, can I take two of
those? That was probably the comic book guy from The Simpsons. I should not put this in my coffee table.
Must strike Lauren Green classic death pose.
And then he comes out,
worst dummies book ever.
We got to have him on an intro or something.
Oh, yeah.
All right, let's see what else these people have to say to us.
Hi, guys. Eric in New York again.
Eric,
I just finished listening to your latest voicemail show, and I had to call you up about a story about my mother and phone. It's talking about the
party
person who had the party line.
Mm-hmm.
Well, originally, we live in New York. So when the phone calls were a nickel, we got a party line. My mother hated it, so eventually she switched it over. That was the only thing she ever did. So when they went from rotary to touchtone, I secretly had the line switched. My mother started complaining that the bill was getting high. I was like, well, gee, I don't know. So finally, she retired about 5 years ago. So she asked me to come over and hook up her computer. Because she used computers at work, and she really didn't know how to hook it up. So we were chatting, and I was looking at her rotary dial phone, sitting there still hooked up to the line. I said, Ma, how are you going to use your computer when you still got rotary? And she says, does that matter? I said, yes. She called the phone company, found out that they were charging her a rental of $395 for this rotary phone, which she's had since the 80s. Well, mind you, it's already 2000, so for 20 years she was renting a phone from the phone company. And she said, gee, no wonder my bill is so high. Well, she canceled that, had them up the phone line, and I told her, don't say anything, it's already been done.
Yeah.
So I got caught there, but my mother's not happy playing balloons on Yahoo.
Little did she know, if she just subscribed to Sports Illustrated, she'd get a cool football phone. Rotary phone.
Renting a rotary phone, no less. Oh. Maybe we ought to have a Technorama intro, infomercial like that.
Infomercial?
Order the 2007 intro CD, and we'll throw in the Technorama cheap plastic crappy phone.
I think I've got about 5 I can give away. That'll be enough to cover.
You think we'll sell that many?
I don't know.
Hey, Chuck and Craig. You know, I was just wondering, with really to these digital TVs and all, you know, dropping the old analog ones.
Yes.
I wonder how much the TV manufacturers are paying these companies to do that. Because, you know, if you look at the price of these things, you know, you can buy the old analog TV for, you know, anywhere from $50 on up. So you're getting these digital TVs. How much are they? $300, $400, $500, $600 starting. Mm-hmm. Most people can't afford that kind of money. They just want to get the old standard regular old TV that'll last them until they absolutely have to upgrade or whatever. So, you know, I really have a problem with that kind of stuff, but I guess we're just talking about major retail, electronics retailers, not like your Walmarts and Targets and those kind of places. So hopefully they keep them until they absolutely have to get rid of them. Because, you know, people like me can't afford to drop mega bucks on a TV just because I need to buy a new one. Keep up the great show, guys. Mike, signing off.
This gets into a big, hairy mess. Something I was thinking about this past weekend, actually, because I had cable problems. The cable guy came around, swapped out my cable modem, bandwidth problems magically went away. He did some other tweaks and whatnot. And I was thinking, because he mentioned, you know, your DB signal's a little low, and this will have problems when you go to digital. I was like, I'll go to digital when you make me. But then I thought, do I have to add another stinking box to this whole setup? Or replace all my TVs so that they're digital capable?
No, you have to get a brand new, like we have DirecTV, but if we want high definition, we got to get DirecTV HD. So they're going to swap receiver out the old box with the new box. Hmm? That doesn't annoy me as much as the crappy hardball that's happening between high definition DVDs and Blu-ray. And I went up to the, you know, I went up to this guy at Best Buy, and I said, "So what's the difference?" And the guy's like, "Well, a regular DVD will hold up 9 gigabytes, a Blu-ray will hold 40 gigabytes." And I'm looking at it, and I'm going, "And that helps me how?"
Really? You just want to watch a stupid movie?
I want to watch the movie, and I want to watch it in the best quality possible. And he's saying, well, you can put all these extra features on it. I'm like, what if I don't want the extra features? And then I asked him, so what about my old films? Oh, they'll still play. They won't look as good. And I'm like, oh, so I've got to go back and buy the old films all over again But this is what ticks me off is that some people are playing the high definition card and they're only releasing the movies in either HD DVD or standard DVD. And then you got Disney saying, we're releasing Cars, but we're releasing it in a very special edition Blu-ray.
Oh,
not in high definition, but in Blu-ray. And I'm sitting there going, oh, okay, Eisner's got stock in Blu-ray. And this is kind of sneaky if you think about it, because you know right now there are all these parents that are getting pestered by their kids. Mom, I want to get the Blu-ray. And, of course, you shut the kid up. They're going to go out and they're going to get a Blu-ray player.
You know, and I saw the same thing. I saw the ad for Cars available on HD on Blu-ray. I was like, oh, man, you know, I'm with you. And well, I tweeted about this one day. I think you even responded. I was looking through my news feeds, and within about six news items, four of them had to do with, well, HD's blowing out Blu-ray. Blu-ray is blowing out HD.
Blowing out HD. Yeah. It's a flip of the coin. Flip of the freaking coin, and I hate it. I freaking hate it.
This is just another example of being suppressed by the man.
The medium man. The medium man.
Yeah.
I say we stick it to him and don't buy anything anymore. BitTorrent everything. Technorama takes on the big media.
Chuck and Craig.
Hello.
Matt from Northern California. Hey, talking about cell phones, well, that brings back some memories. First cell phone I ever used was my mother's. It was a Nokia, I believe, and it was in 1988.
It was rotary?
It was like a console, so it was like you carried it with a handle, and it had a big old antenna on it, had a cord. And we would go to the airport to pick up family, and I would always ask hold on to the phone as we walked through the airport. That was cool. But the first cell phone I owned was in March of 1994. I got my tax refund, and I begged Don to let me buy a cell phone. And it was a AirTouch Cellular, Pactel originally, and then AirTouch. But it was a Motorola I thought it was the DC. It was that first Motorola flip phone that had that humongous battery on it, and you couldn't even carry it in a coat pocket. It was so big, but that was my first one. And I had that for about a year, and I remember for years that was the best phone that I had until I started getting smaller. But in 1994, I blew my whole tax refund on a cell phone. As John says, I blew our entire tax refund on a cell phone from me. All right, see you guys. 101.
So, T, what was your first cell phone?
Oh, man, I was just thinking about that. I want to say it was an Ericsson, and it I beat the crap out of that thing. It was just it could not take a hit, to say the least. And I hated the I think it was a Cellular One was my carrier at the time, and I hated it because the reception would constantly cut out, and it was just a wreck. And that was my first cellular phone. My last cellular phone is the one that I'm currently using. It's the Sprint Katana, and it's so mega cool. And I thought it was. I thought it was really, really sharp and really, really slick. And then I went to this year's New Media Expo, and everybody's walking around with their freaking iPhones.
I know it.
And yeah. I thought about it. I was like, do I really want an iPhone? And honestly, I don't. I like the fact that I can listen to a podcast or I can watch something and not be interrupted because I'm plugged out. I've tuned out the world. That's why I have an iPod.
Mm-hmm.
And the last thing is that the last thing I would want anyway. You know, I could be watching an episode of 24 or the season finale of Battlestar Galactica, and all of a sudden it pauses and Chuck Tomasi. I answer, and Chuck's like, hey, Key, we need to talk about this podcasting for dummy thing. Listen, I got this problem. And I'm just like, Chuck,
give me 5 minutes.
You will hang up the phone now. Just do it now.
Maybe there's an option that we don't know about that says block Chuck or something.
I'm sure it's there.
You didn't ask me my first one. My first cell phone.
Well, what was yours?
Actually, I think it was a company issued one about 7 years ago. It was the old Nokia, was it the 6120? The real basic phone.
Mm-hmm.
But we were inside a manufacturing facility, you know, full metal building. So the reception was absolute garbage at work. But yeah. that was all right. We had a data plan, and I could do text messaging, and the ticketing, the ticket tracking system that I wrote for our IT group, I just grafted on a little thing that allowed you to send text messages. So if you got a priority one, or you could set some options and go, hey, tell me about those and that and whatnot. So it was a great vehicle. You know, when you put technology in like a software developer's hands, they're going to find a way to leverage that and make use of it somehow. So that's exactly what happened in my case.
I think the biggest ones I was most impressed with, I think, were those Nextel ones with the radio in it. Two-way. Yeah, those were great. But the only problem with it was, you know, it would always cut out. Those would cut out at the wrong time. So you could bleep, and another person couldn't call back, and it's like, you know, you wait a minute. But anyway, a lot of contractors and stuff use that because they can set up groups and, you know, and call each other and kind of order lunch. I don't know what they do, but it was cool.
Are there any girls in this chat room?
Hello.
Hey, Craig. I love the format of the new show going solo. Well, yay. Not new format. It was different without Chuck, but you did very good. I kept expecting Chuck to pipe in with his comments, but of course he wasn't there. But I imagined them in my head. And I hit pause after every comment you made, and I pretended to be Chuck. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, just wanted to say great show this week, and also say to you guys that I checked out the Great Server Room, or Great Server, sorry, on the Friends in Tech site. That was awesome. That was absolutely awesome. The cover art was pretty cool too. I guess that was probably PC Weenies. I didn't read that, but
yep.
I that work anywhere. But that was very good. So you guys did a great job on that. Anyway, happy Halloween, guys. See ya.
Oh yeah, props to Krishna for the album art.
And props to the rest of Friends in Tech because they actually put most of that together.
Yeah, we did as to read some lines this time.
We just provided the talent.
That line from Clinton comes to mind where he says they're overinflated egos.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
This is Andrew in Michigan.
Hey, Andrew.
And I'm just now listening to episode 185 through the magic of time shifting and podcasting. You're talking about the Merlin in video games of the 70s and how, you know, if you were a kid in the 70s, you'd love it. I just found my Merlin like last week, and my 6-year-old daughter thought the tic-tac-toe was the greatest. Games of the 70s are still great for today's kids. Talk to you later. Absolutely. Bye.
You know, when people talk about the vintage games, rarely do I hear anybody geek out about ColecoVision. And I remember being very briefly the coolest kid in school because they heard I got a ColecoVision. And not only did I get ColecoVision, I got Zaxxon. And I could rock out a world with Zaxxon. I freaking loved Zaxxon. It was great. I really dug it. I dug it hard.
Yeah. I had a friend that had a ColecoVision, and I don't know where he got them all, but he had a boatload of cartridges, and Donkey Kong was great on it.
Oh yeah, Donkey Kong was fantastic on it.
Yeah, and so was Zaxxon. That was awesome. He had all kinds of games, and that was awesome. And I ended up with a Coleco Atom for a while, which would play all those games too. But that was pretty neat. The controller was a little wonky, but
the Coleco was kind of like the Wii of its day. It was different, but it was better in a lot of ways.
Yeah,
You couldn't touch the graphics. That was the big thing about ColecoVision. I mean,
yeah.
Mattel was trying to make it all look like they had their most realistic graphics with Intellivision. And I remember trying to figure out Intellivision, and it was not what I would call user-friendly by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
But what I was going to say was, you know, I kind of had that feeling like you were talking about the other day, you know, what about the ColecoVision? Everybody knew that T's got one, you know. Well, I was downstairs and said our nephew or somebody came over and looked at Harrison and went, "Whoa, you got a Wii." I was like, "Yes, right." felt good.
We found the Google server. Hooray! Our search is over.
I guess that's a comment from the video.
How do you search for Google?
Yeah, that really was Google. That video really was priceless. I still look back when I think back on the New Media Expo from last year. I think about that night, that video, and I just smile. That was the funniest video. It's fantastic.
That was a good time. Yeah.
I especially like the part where I slowed down Chuck's voice and offset it.
And here at the Computer Museum.
If you don't know what we're talking about, you got to go back and look on the website or go back a little further.
Hey, guys, it's Mark
and
Memphis.
Get the video.
Bruce is talking about getting your favorite channels programmed into a strategic location on your remote.
Oh, that 3-foot-long remote.
Yeah. Come on. Wait a minute. We're speed dialing television channels now? Gosh, you can't push 3 buttons? Wow. That's sad. Bye.
But Apple will come up with a way to make it with no buttons.
Yeah, just think about it. Change the channel. Did you see that thing? Did you ever see that? It was like, it looked like it was 3 foot long. It had rainbow array of little tiny buttons across the whole thing. And I bet there was 100 buttons on there or
150,
more.
150, if
I
remember right.
I'm trying to remember what the device was that he was talking about.
It was a remote control for your television. Only it just had one button for each of the 150 channels. He's got a point. He's speed dialing.
Oh, that's awesome. I dig that.
Let's see, was my channel on Fuchsia Coral?
But the thing was, none of the buttons were actually labeled. They were just colored. So it's like in a rainbow array. So it's like, I would have to go, well, let's see.
Goldenrod or Canary?
Diamonds are forever. When they go to Willard White's laboratory and Sean Connery is trying to get away, he runs through a moon set where the guy is pretending to be on the moon.
Yep.
Ah.
Oh. Yep. That's true. Right. I remember that one.
We're a couple idiots, don't we, Chuck?
Yeah. When it comes to Bond, we're not the brightest.
Well, I'm a Bond. I'm a massive Bond geek. I loved the James Bond films. So yeah. Yeah, even the bad ones. Even the bad ones. Well, the bad ones I like to ridicule. But
all right, what's the baddest of the bad on your list, T?
Yeah, come on.
Oh, jeez. Probably it's a toss-up between On Her Majesty's Secret Service, because that just wasn't made like a Bond film. It was made like a 60s drug trip. And, you know, Bond wasn't about the day and age. He was about Bond. And George Lazenby there's a reason why he retired to do, you know, softcore porn for Cinemax. I mean, you know, he was just
like
not.
It was like the Bond version of the Magical Mystery Tour.
Yeah, exactly. The best thing about it was Diana Rigg was the Bond girl, and you cannot go wrong with Diana Rigg. Sure. Now the other one that comes a close tie is the last Brosnan one. I think it was the last Brosnan one. Was it The World Is Not Enough? Was that the last Bond film that was made?
I think so. I think it is.
Yeah, the one that had Denise Richards in it, and she was playing a physicist, like a nuclear physicist. I'm like, okay, already I can suspend disbelief to a point, but I'm not buying that for a second.
Was that Denise Richards?
Yes. And
Dr. Christmas Jones was his name?
Yeah, and that's
I missed that reference.
I think, and even though Bond is famous for those goofy one-liners,
mm-hmm.
even Bond has a limit to said one-liners. He's good enough where he's like, I'm not going to say the complete obvious.
Yeah.
And but yet he went for it. He said, "Well, what do you know? Christmas comes more than once a year." And I was like, "Okay, I am done." Now, the best Bond film, hands mm-hmm. down. Goldfinger.
Yeah. Best Bond. Probably agree with that.
Close second is another Brosnan film.
Really?
Tomorrow Never Dies. Because they went back to what I considered was the formula. They went back to the supervillain, Jonathan Pryce. Jonathan Pryce had his stealth boat, so that was his super lair. He had the super henchman. And then you had Michelle Yeoh kicking ass. So you really – I was fine with that. I was fine letting Michelle Yeoh be, you know, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. It was really cool.
Yeah, so what'd you think about Daniel Craig?
I have not seen Casino Royale yet. Oh. I've heard a lot of mixed things. Yeah, I'm serious. I have not seen – because I want to, because I think mm-hmm. He looks like he's got the Bond look down.
Yeah.
But I haven't seen Casino Royale. I've heard a lot of good things and bad things about it. But something tells me I'll dig it, because he looks like he's going for that Connery feel.
And that's the kind of what I got out of it. I enjoyed it. There was a couple of times I was like, you know, come on. You know. Right. It was a whiskey tango foxtrot, right?
Oh dear, okay.
but no, it was a good movie. I enjoyed it.
United States, Canada, Mexico, Panama, Haiti, Jamaica, Peru, Republic, Dominican, Cuba, Caribbean, Greenland,
El Salvador,
Chile, Puerto Rico, Colombia, Venezuela, Honduras, Guyana, and still Guatemala, Bolivia, then Argentina, and Ecuador, Chile, Brazil,
Costa Rica, Bolivia,
Bahamas, Tobago, San Juan, Paraguay, Uruguay, Suriname, Massachusetts, Guyana, Barbados, and Guam, Norway, and Sweden, and Iceland, and Finland, and Germany, now in one piece, Switzerland, Austria, Czechoslovakia, Italy, Turkey, Greece, Poland, Romania, Scotland, Albania, Ireland, Russia, Oman, Bulgaria, Saudi Arabia, Hungary, Cyprus, Iraq, and Iran, there, Syria, Lebanon, Israel, Jordan, both Yemen, Kuwait, and Bahrain, the Netherlands, Portugal, Belgium, Portugal, France, England, Denmark, Spain, India, Pakistan, Burma, Afghanistan, Thailand, Nepal, Bhutan, Cambodia, Malaysia, and Bangladesh, Asia, China, Korea, Japan, Mongolia, Laos, Thailand, Indonesia, the Philippines, Taiwan, Sri Lanka, New Guinea, Sumatra, New Zealand, Borneo, and Vietnam, Tunisia, Morocco, Uganda, Angola, Zimbabwe, Djibouti, Botswana, Mozambique, Zambia, Swaziland, Gambia, Guinea, Algeria, Ghana, Rwanda, Lesotho, Malawi, Togo, the Spanish, Harrison, Niger, Nigeria, Chad, Liberia, Egypt, Benin, Gabon, Tanzania, Somalia, Kenya, Mali, Sierra Leone, Egypt, the Holy Namibia, Senegal, Libya, Cameroon, Kazakhstan, Ethiopia, Guinea-Bissau, Madagascar, Rwanda, Myanmar, Oman, Hong Kong, Abu Dhabi, Qatar, Yugoslavia, Cuba, Timor, Adventures of India, Monaco, Lithuania, Malta, and Palestine, Fiji, Australia.
Do we have talented Collins?
If he did not, pull that off without using time stretch, I am really, really impressed.
That's Shadowbird. He did that one take.
You know what? All hail the Shadowbird.
But wait.
Louisiana, Indianapolis, Indiana, and Columbus is the capital of Texas is Austin, and we go north to Massachusetts, Boston, and northern New York. Massachusetts, Florida, and Washington, D.C., Santa Fe, New Mexico, and Memphis, Tennessee, Trenton, New Jersey, North Jefferson, Missouri, you got Virginia, Virginia, South Dakota, half year, Harrisburg, and Pennsylvania, and Augusta, up in Maine, and here's Providence, Rhode Island, next to Delaware, Delaware, Cocoa, New Hampshire, just local Jones, Montpelier, which is up in Vermont, Harvard, Connecticut, Tupperty in the fall, and Kansas, Speaking, Minnesota, St. Paul, Jules, in Alaska, and Lincoln, in Nebraska, and Florida, North Carolina, and then the Bannister, Wisconsin, and Olympia, Washington, Arizona, and Massachusetts again.
Hey, I thought this was a family show.
That wasn't quite clear enough. The distortion made it
it's illegible.
Keep
it clean.
Yeah. What is?
Oh man! Well,
hey, Chuck, listener line. This is JT Shea from the Gigcast.
JT.
I just have to say, you guys need to get together and do part two of Wrath of Khan. It was an incredibly enjoyable listen, and so you know, fellow Technorama listeners, we need to get up a pledge drive. To get a plane ticket for either Chuck to go see Craig or Craig to go see Chuck so they can finish watching Wrath of Khan recording their conversation. This was great, guys. Thanks for the great listen. Hope you enjoyed your week off and look forward to hearing more of Technorama Point Media show member. Talk to you later.
Yeah, we left them hanging. We left them hanging. They don't know what happens in the movie.
Did you listen to it, T?
You know, I've heard everybody talk about it, but the problem is that when you guys did it, I was in the middle of trying to finish up this albatross around my neck, which was the expert podcasting practices for dummies. Mm-hmm. So I missed out on a lot of really cool podcasts, and I heard about the Wrath of Khan podcast, and. I was so bummed that I didn't hear it because I'm sitting there thinking to myself, oh, I would have had so much fun just playing along at home, and then I would have called you guys up and go, why didn't you guys call me? I would have been in that oh, that would have been awesome. So yeah, that's I've heard but good things about it.
You know, it would take a lot of editing, but what we should do is play Ustream and actually throw it out through the stream and have our callers call in and make comments. Edit it up later.
Well, there's always the Vegas trip. We can do part two next summer.
Yay!
There you go, the Vegas trip.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, just wanted to give you some feedback on a future show, since you invited it anyway. In show 257, you mentioned that at Macworld Expo 2009, Steve Jobs had announced that they were deploying Windows Mobile on the iPhone sometime by the end of the year. I hate to bring down the house of cards you built in your speculation, but Apple issued a press release shortly afterward explaining that Mr. Jobs had just come from the dentist and the Novocaine hadn't quite worn off yet. What he actually said was that Apple was destroying Windows Mobile with the iPhone, and this is the part the media left out, expected to overtake Windows Mobile in market share sometime by the end of the year. Hey, just thought you should know. 0x101, guys. Bye-bye.
No, I'm screwing up the system. 0x101 is 257.
No, I should have said 256. That would have been made more sense. Hey, well, you know what? Hey, with getting back on the subject here, Apple, you know, whether you like the iPhone's nice. It's cool. Mm-hmm. But, you know, perfect or not, Windows Mobile does suck. And anything is better than that.
I was just going to say, you mean to tell me it's going to take Apple that long to trounce Windows Mobile 2009?
I think iPhone mode was more popular than any Windows Mobile device.
I find it funny that you know Apple's got the iPod, and then all of a sudden, well, I shouldn't say all of a sudden, after years of just kicking butt with the iPod, all of a sudden Microsoft introduces the Zune, and they were expecting to sell, what, a million of those in a quarter? I think they'd be lucky if they've sold five. And then you've heard about this new one called Sync. Have you heard about this?
No.
Sync,
powered by Microsoft. It's a mobile phone that also is an MP3 player. It can do all these, you know, it can access the internet. It's basically, Sync is Microsoft's take on the iPhone.
And they spelled it S-I-N-K.
Yeah, exactly.
Zune Sync.
Zune Sync, yeah.
Do it all then.
I mean, it's just, yeah. And I'm sitting there going, you know what, Bill, you've already proven a point with Vista. I think you should just stop now, you know, gather in as much humility as you possibly can and just, you know, just relax, baby. Just relax.
Collect your broken leg lamp and take
exactly.
It.
Yeah. Exactly. What sucks is, you know, and not to actually bash Microsoft, but look at it this way.
It
is easy to do, but they've got so much money, so much technology behind the walls of Microsoft. It just seems like it just doesn't gel, you know, whatever they do kind of is like, or, you know, just kind of, you know, it's not exciting, or they drop the ball like Origami. That sounded great. It sounded cool. Oh, it's a mobile computer. They went and changed the name of it to UMPC. Tell me what's wrong with that picture? You know,
they UMPC. Need to stick with their core so competencies. Sexy. They're not doing that anymore.
Do what now?
They need to stick to their core competencies.
Yeah. They're not doing that anymore. So right,
we've got one more.
Okay.
Hey, Chuck and Craig, it's the Shadowbird, Jeremy K, aka Archangel SB. Boy, did I have an interesting week.
Singing?
Among the things that I did this week, I got to run an Ethernet cable in the building, and that required me to sort of, I guess you could say, play Spider-Man. Climb up on top of the roof.
Spider-Man.
String a cable all the way across the building through two walls. One of them a brick wall, and that also required me to drop down into some leaves with some rather pointy edges on them. So, as you can imagine, I was really sore the next morning. That's all for me this week. 101, peace, bye.
No one ever said IT was a hazard-free job. Hey, call Mike Rowe. We might have something.
Yeah. You know what? Speaking of dirty jobs, you know, and computers, you know, one time we've got buildings that are pretty old around here, and I went to move the ceiling tile to get up in the roof and there and pull a cable one time. I pulled it up. Of course, dust comes falling out on me. That's not bad enough. As soon as I stick my head up in there, there's a dead squirrel. It's like he stopped dead in his tracks. Like he was crawling away, you know, it just died right there. He's right there in my face. It's awesome. So, yeah, get Mike out there.
All right, that's going to do it for our listener feedback show. If you would like to get in touch with us, we would love to hear from you. You know, like the Charles Schwab commercial says, talk to Chuck. You can also talk to Craig and T if you like, too.
Hey, yeah, why not? I may not be around, but that's okay.
Call the listener line at 206-222-2428. For those of you that have problems with numbers, 206-222-CHAT. That helps you remember it a little bit.
That was, yeah. I think.
Or send us an email at technorama@chuckchat.com. You can also visit the website for back issues we've referenced. Or write us a review on the iTunes Music Store. Put us as a favorite in Podcast Pickle, vote for us on Podcast Alley, or do whatever the other many podcast directories do that T and I still have to write up in the book.
That's right.
Want to thank everybody for their time and talent for keeping Technorama going. Mad Marv provides all the great blog content during the week. Lots of great stuff. Too much to mention in a weekly show, but you can catch it every day on the blog. Add that to your feed. And you'll be having such a strange week. People wonder what you're on. Scott Reynolds helps us out with the modest live stream. We also have Ustream going most Sunday nights when we're around. The chat room is provided by freenode.net. You can find us at irc.freenode.net on your favorite IRC client. Use pound technorama as the channel name. We'd love to hear from you. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech. You can find out more at friendsintech.com. We're also affiliated with all the great audio content over at Farpoint Media. Farpointmedia.net is the place to find all that good stuff. If you're getting this show the old-fashioned way by clicking on the link on the website, hey, we've got a way to get it to you automatically every time there's a new show out. Drop one of us an email and we'll let you know how you can do that. It's all free. We love it. You love it. Everybody wins.
Yeah.
Don't forget to tell a friend about Technorama. And until next time, what do you tell them, T?
101.
And backwards for all the dyslexic in the chat room?
101. You know, I just realized something. I'm recording this for everybody, but I just realized not only am I recording my part, but I'm recording your parts too. Is that bad?